For our scripture reading this morning, I would like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, You do well to be angry for the plant. And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? May God richly bless the reading of his word, and may his name be forever praised. As Pastor Raven comes forward to deliver his message this morning, I'd just like us all to pray, and I'd like to pray over Raven as he prepares to deliver his word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of Jonah chapter 4. We pray that you might illuminate our minds and hearts as we hear it proclaimed in the power of your spirit. We pray that we give Pastor Ray the clarity of thought and speech, that he might deliver some words that might touch our minds and hearts, that might transform us more into the image of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You familiar with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? I haven't seen that movie for a long time. I saw a clip of it on TV. It was just like a portion of it. And so I can't remember exactly how it happened, but Chance was watching it, and I said, Chance, you got to see the movie. So we found it. And so we watched it. It's been a couple months now. MVCA, Missouri Valley School, decided they're going to show this movie, so we went again the other night and saw it. And I was talking to Don Veldhaus last week. He was explaining to me how many times he had heard Jonah's issue and portions of Jonah over the last month or so, you know. And I remember when I was younger, this is how, you know, God works with, he gets our attention in certain different ways. And so one way he would do it for me was when I was first born again. Yes, we're born again. He would, on a Sunday morning, on the coast of Oregon, where there's always clouds, always fog, it was sunshine. I'd wake up before church, and the sun would be shining much like it is right now, and I would think, no, that's unusual. And so then I would say, this is really neat. You see what kind of, how easy it is for God to get some of our attention, my attention. And so, then as years went by, these messages would kind of come. If they were in threesomes or foursomes, I knew I had to pay attention. Well, so Don's saying this to me, and I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. Because I had just read an article the day before, and I saw a portion of Jonah. And I was listening, my radio comes on at 5:40 or something, and guess who was on the radio? Jonah. Now, a few months ago, we were talking in one of the Bible studies, and we were talking a little bit about, Jonah came up, and what was the purpose of Jonah? God was not, this is what it was, unfulfilled prophecies. Did God say, hey, go preach to Jonah, go preach to Nineveh, that they're going to be destroyed, and then he didn't destroy them? No, that's not God's way at all. He wanted to redeem them. Jonah didn't really. Jonah knew, actually. That was the problem with Jonah. I knew your graciousness. Don't go do that. So it's not an unfulfilled prophecy. It's just sometimes we don't understand what God's up to. And we gotta find out what God's up to. So I'm thinking, someday I'm going to preach Jonah. I remember Jen sitting at the end of the table. She said, well, when are you going to preach Jonah? So I thought, well, I'm going to preach Jonah. You know, the 3D, if you just read it in its literal language and go through it, it's a very, very unique book. And we haven't been able to really dig into it as much as maybe a good Bible study would be. But last week I kind of got this idea, and then this last couple of days, it's like the Lord telling me, you know, do you think you're just preaching Jonah because you want to? Do you think this is... I mean, did you listen to what Don Bellhouse said? I have a purpose here. I have a purpose. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is, you know, Dick Van Dyke, an American in England. Did you ever see that book? You remember it's about a rescue. It actually ends up to be about a rescue. It's a car, but the car has this magical things going on. Dick Van Dyke is even he's a little surprised what's happening with the car. But they're on a mission. They're on a rescue. And sometimes that's the way that we see it. God is, we see these things happening and we go, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. The wings are coming out, we're plowing along on the water, and the pirate ships are after us, and things are really pretty cool. They're not fun. I'd rather not be on a rescue mission. I'd rather not be in some of the situations that we find ourselves sometimes. Joe's problem was he didn't understand his priorities. That title, by the way, is 6 weeks old. Or 7 weeks old. He didn't understand his priorities. That's just the fact of the chapters in Jonah. He didn't understand. He didn't get it. His priorities as a prophet and as a minister of God is to do his job. We're in the most exciting time in history. You read the books of World War I and II, the Vietnam War, and all those things, and they thought they were, and give them some credit. I mean, we have the greatest generation still living today. I give them credit for that, but I'm telling you what, we are living in the greatest time in history. The most exciting time in history. We look around, we see the news, and we see things going to hell in a handbasket. Literally. And people thinking, wow, things are just out of control. God has lost his... There's no God. How can there be a God? I saw a clip. God, how could there be a God? He can't care. He can't. There's no way he can care and allow this stuff to happen. People are looking up. They may be looking up wrongly. But they're looking up. We're in the most exciting time. Time to preach the gospel more and live the gospel. And Jonah is acting like this. Jonah is acting like this. A minister of God is acting like this. Let me say something. We're all ministers of God. We all have gifts. Some of us called to leadership. And we got a man sitting on a hill eating popcorn, waiting for a terrible end. It's interesting. I don't know. It's just me. My mom said I was going to be an actor. And I get get this little vision of him going up and the popcorn of the day. He's got his little thing sitting up on the hill and he's looking. And he's waiting for this. And where's the soda? And by the way, we better build a booth because we need a little air conditioning. God gives him the air conditioning of 800 BC. The little plant comes up. You're up on a hill, you got probably a little breeze. And I get this little picture, he's eating his popcorn, and all of a sudden the worm comes out of the popcorn, stares him in the face, and, dumps it out. And next thing you know, this worm's eating his plant. And you have a right to be angry? God's got his priorities too. He loves Nineveh. He is after Nineveh. But he doesn't have a relationship with Nineveh. He has a relationship with Jonah. If God, the Lord of our gospel, says to this, he says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, Nineveh. But especially to those who belong to the family. Who's God's priority to? So, who's God's priority to? You, and me, and that person sitting beside you. This is his priority. Because at some point, he's going to say in Revelation, let those who are going to be go into captivity go into captivity. Then let those who are going to die by the sword die by the sword. I don't want to see that day. It's a very sad day. But people have a choice, and we made ours. Praise God, we made ours. And now his priority is you. His priority is us. We're his family. Wow. And so Jonah, God is still, at this point, at the end of Jonah, dealing with Jonah. Jonah, your priorities are wrong. Your priorities are wrong. You may agree, and I hope you agree, and I know that you will look at our Constitution when it comes to being worked out, and delayed, this worked out. But you and I have the same goal, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We have a commission to the world, but make no doubt about it. It's not just to go preach. It's to make disciples. It's the teaching and relationship and love and hurt, working through the hurts and pains of our church. Working through those things in relationship and commitment to one another. Whatever goes on outside is secondary. It's important, but it is secondary. Because at some point, if you believe Paul's word about the apostasy, then there is very little evangelism going on. That's one way or the other. Is there a great evangelism and enlightenment? We've had those. I pray God for another one. I hope it comes. But at some point, you believe Paul's words or not. That we are holding forth. Now, there's still people coming in because that's the Lord's ministry. He's doing stuff. I tell you what, I think the Middle East is just, the people are giving up on Islam because it's a brutal thing. So the gospel must be preached. But the priority is us and God. The question is, when we preach, is our message going to be heard? Is it going to be heard? Well, we know God's word does not come back void. That's another portion of Jonah's word. He comes in with a horrible heart. And he only says one thing, you're going to die in 40 days. And that's all it took. That's all God needed. His word does not come back void. So in spite of Jonah, in spite of the Balaam and all these other people, his word is going to go forth. But God's priority is you and me. His family. His heart was wrong with Jonah's heart. I'm convinced that he didn't see it that way. I'm convinced that at times we don't see it that way. My heart's fine with God. I can act and do whatever. I'm okay with the Lord. I'm convinced that Jonah did not understand. I'm convinced that I don't understand sometimes. I don't understand people. I don't understand what God's doing. Jonah says, I do well to be angry. Couldn't have picked a better chapter at a better time. This is God's time. We must ask him what he wants us to hear, because the gospel is at stake. The love is at stake. We cannot be sitting on a hill eating popcorn and waiting for disaster. We're ready for the show. As Alistair Begg, he says, he painted this a couple times. He says, it looks like getting in an airplane. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. No. No. You're a steward. You're a stewardess. And some of us are called and paid for it. And if we don't do that, get ready for the fish. Get ready for the worm. God pointed a worm right in the middle of his popcorn. Hey, Bob, this is not a show, I'm sure God is saying. Jonah, this is not a show. This is ministry. Do you do well to be angry when we've got 120,000 people who are totally ignorant? And by the way, it's equivalent to the dumb cattle that I've created. You're consumed with the booth and the plant and the right and I want you to forgive me if I'm wrong. It won't be the first time I ask for that, by the way. There's approximately 15,000 people in Denver. If you take the Pew Research, you've got about 20 to 25% of them who are evangelical, born-again Christians. Now, I'm not going to judge people's hearts. I hope it's higher. I hope it's 50. I hope it's 100. I'm trying to go by statistics here, so that means we've got about 3,000 in Yankton who may be going to heaven. Put it plain and simple, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Counting the churches, we have about 24 churches. Let's say there's an average of 200. That may be a little high, but let's say it's 200 people. That's 4,800 people. So let's say we have 5,000 people. Say you're going to heaven. Have their ticket ready to be punched. Rapture comes. We're gone. At least 10,000 people in this town that we have a responsibility to as a light of the world. And we're caught up with my booth, my popcorn, and that little worm. Ice is bearing down on our heads. The debt is overwhelming us. Our government is bearing down on me. The decline of our society, the apostasy is in full swing. And the coldness has begun. It's not global warming, it's global cooling. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, this church. Well, they're going to try. They're going to try. The only reason the rapture hasn't come is because our work isn't done. The Holy Spirit, and I thank God for Joe every time he says this, he said it multiple times, like I have a dollar for him, he said it, that the Lord is holding back the floodgates of evil. He continues to do so. Once we're gone, it is over. It is up to you. You and me are the gate to heaven, and we're the door. I mean, you know what I mean by that. Jesus is the door. We are the light of the world. We have a responsibility. We can't leave it to somebody else. We can't. It's got to be us. Let's come inside our doors here a little bit. Let's say that the apostasy is done. I mean, it's in full swing. What is our first responsibility inside the doors? Hebrews 3, 12 to 13. The words, the imperative, the command. see to it. Now, first of all, that is directly at the leaders of this church. Every one of those leaders of this church, but everyone as well, but in particular to the leaders of this church. See to it, and then brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God. And here it is. But encourage one another daily, that is as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, root of bitterness, anger, murmuring, and complaining. John 4:35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you now, lift up your eyes. See that the fields are white now, not John 9:4. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Listen, it's day because the Holy Spirit is here. It's day because we're still here. The rapture's not come. It's daytime. But then Jesus says, night is coming. No one will work. To disciples, to workers, priority, we can't be sitting on the hill. Shame on me if I do it. I pray that you will walk into my office and say, shame on you for sitting on the hill. And some of you say, well, I'm not a minister. And I'm going to show you that you are. We don't have an Awana here, but we do have one or two people who are helping with Awana. Praise the Lord. We can do VBS and Hallelujah Fest. We've got some neat things going on. But we've got huge crowds of adults coming out to help during those times, and it's fantastic. There's little things going on the side. And some of us say, I can't. Let's face who we are. Let's face who we are. We're a demographic different than anybody else in this community. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the 30s. In that round group there for helping and ministering and being a part and loving. But they are the minority. It's the over 50 crowd. So we say, you know, before I came to Dallas, I said, look, these people over 50 are leaving the church. You know why? Because they don't think they can do anything. And Christianity is waning, and the crowd says, I can't do anything. My years are gone. Well, first of all, here's a little proof that your years are not gone. Well, you look at me. We have two kids. I just went through Dallas Seminary. I'm 56 years old, and we have another child coming. Hopefully temporarily. I'll take her forever, I don't care. But we are not done. Charles Stanley said we do not retire as Christians, and we don't. And we haven't. We've proven this. This church has proven it. I love you guys. Don't ever. First of all, if we say I won't do something, if we say I won't do something, be prepared for the fish. And if that doesn't get you, the little worm does its damage as well. So just be prepared. The fish is coming up out of the depth right now. But number two, if you say that you're not a minister and can't do something, you have been lied to. You've been lied to. Let's say I'm having a bad day. You heard something happen. You heard something's going on. And I just had a horrible day. And so I come to church and this has happened so many times, this is why I'm saying it. I come to church, and one of you who did not want to be here today, he said, I'm going to sit on the hill and eat my popcorn. But you came in today, and you came up to me, you saw, And you came up and said, you know, I love you. Thank you. Or you don't like somebody else came the other day. Who, and this is a story, this person didn't have anything against me in particular, but she was upset. And she came upset. It has to do what she needs to do about it. I understand that. We prayed together and she said she loved me. And I told her I loved her. Looked her right in the eyes. We just do what we can to minister, and it takes a smile. When you come in here, you minister. When you sing, when you do the dishes, when whatever you are doing, you are ministering. When you go somewhere else, you are not. You're not. They just jump in and they do ministry. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Whatever you do, make somebody smile. Shake their hand. Just show up. Whatever. Colossians 3:23 takes us right into the New Testament. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. Give it that extra, I love you. Whatever it takes. That's ministry. You expect me to minister. You expect me. I'm called a minister. I have a tag. The Lord has called me with certain things to do and certain work to do, and you as a church have said, you stand in this position. And if I don't do that, I will be called on the carpet, and I need to be. You must hold your pastors and elders accountable and responsible. But I pray that we do so across the board with everyone, so that we can be a body of Christ loving to death each other, working to death, because there's coming a day where we cannot work. And it's all based on our priorities. You expect this from me. Isn't it interesting that when we don't, we turn things upside down? The creation story in Jonah is this, that Jonah's not eating the fish, or whatever, with the worm. Some people eat worms. It's upside down. The creation has it all over Jonah. And that's what happens when we've got priorities wrong. I'll finish here. Do you know on Yom Kippur, you know what book they read? Jonah. When I first heard that, I marveled. I said, no, go read one of the major prophets. Go read something with more meat, you know, more loving and whatever. You know, it's Jonah. And there's several reasons that some different rabbis give. I think they've kind of lost some of the meaning why. But the reason that one person gave was because it's about repentance. It is about God saying to Jonah, repent. That's not their number one reason, by the way. You're talking about Nineveh. God loves everybody. He wants the Ninevites to repent. There's no doubt about it. But this book's about Jonah. And this book is about you and me. Do you know how many days it took Jonah probably to get from the coast to Nineveh? Depends on where he got dropped off by the fish. Where does ticket take you? Anywhere between 20 and 30 days. Watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang the other day, remember Grandpa it looks like an outhouse, but they call it his lodge. And he's up in a balloon and he's going along and he starts singing that song, The Traveling Life. Who's seen it? Come on, raise your hand. Okay. If you haven't seen it, go get it. I thought you can have it. Can you? Chance. But he writes, the post life, the traveling life for me. He's being dipped in water and up and down there on his rescue mission. You know, it wasn't the traveling life for Jonah, but sometimes it's not for us. I tell you what, Gary is a wonderful teacher. This morning he was talking again. about our fruit of the Spirit and joy. And I'll be frank with you, the last couple weeks have been very difficult. You expect me to shine my joy, but I'm not going to lie and play. I can't. But on Thursday, God raised that burden. I have no burden. It's God's burden. And I love Him for it. And I can't wait to see what He's going to do, because listen to me. This is all. I've got to go through something else. Just hang on a second. Listen to this. Listen, please. What would we be doing and where are we going? Because Satan cares. Whatever's going on, Satan cares. We have a mission. Satan cares. So let's get rid of this stuff. Let's kill the worm and ditch the fish and get to work, because Satan is on to something. That doesn't mean anything about me or any one of us, but it means something about this light and this community going somewhere into darkness. Praise the Lord. Mission. I'd say commission impossible. No, it's possible. The mission is possible. But we've got to get our priorities right. Should the member of your team be caught or killed, do not disavow. Don't disavow. Don't quit. Don't. I quit. Should you run, Mr. Phelps, a fish will come and get you. This bulletin. I think I'll keep this one. I might frame this one. I want to remind you of something before we quit. Matthew 18 talks about one side of an issue. Somebody's made me mad. And I'm going to go to them by myself. If you don't know this process, please read it. Somebody made me mad, I'm going to go to them by myself. Now, please hear me. It does say sin, so be careful. But it's still a function that if you're angry with somebody, somebody's angry to you, you really need to go to them. And do not go to someone else. Please hear me. Do not gather together with someone else until you have done the first thing, because a fish will come and get it. There's a process there. Go read it for yourself. The other side of it, sometimes we just don't get it. Sometimes I go, man, I made somebody angry and I don't understand why. I'm not going to walk into church and do my ministry. Not according to Matthew 5 of Jesus Christ, who says, if you go to do ministry, lay your alms at the altar, you can fill in the blanks. Whenever I go to do all that I want to unto the Lord, and then it comes to mind that somebody has something against me. Oh, I haven't done anything. Well, do we know that? And does it matter? Does it matter? And I'm going to say it again. If we're called ministers and leaders of this church, and I know that somebody's mad at me, I better be running over there. And if I don't, you better send Dan Crick into my office and kick my rear end. Please. It's out of fun and love, and I love you guys so much. But let me just say this. We are in a very, very crucial time. So you better jump the counter, gird your loins, and go talk to somebody who you know is angry. And you better not be doing it with somebody else. The board is working on something, and you better trust them. They are good at it. They are lovely people. loving them. And I love them for them. I thank each and every single one of you for your ministry to me and this church. And I'm being very, very honest and frank with you. I cannot wait to see what the Lord's going to do in 2016 with Israel, with the nations. Well, tonight we're going to start talking more and more about the pieces that God is putting in place, and we get to watch those things come together, and we get to rejoice in it, and encourage each other in it, unless we're stuck in the belly of a fish. We can't be there. I love you, Lord. I raise my hand and surrender to you. And I apologize to you, Lord God, for anything that I've ever thought is wrong and in anger. But Lord, you know my heart. You know our hearts. And you're after them. You are so much after them. I love you for that. The hound of heaven who will not give up and is more concerned about your children than anything else. I love you for that. I thank you that we have a Heavenly Father who does that, acts like that, comes after us like that, and has all the resources of heaven to back it up. Thank you, Lord. I love you for that. Would you just comfort every single heart here? Would you just encourage them to lay down any room, to pick up any sword and fight the fight? Would you just encourage us all to throw these weights aside of roots of bitterness and anger and misunderstandings and go forward. Call us to it, Lord. Commission us to it, we pray, and you already have. In Jesus' name.